Do you do a lot of hospitality design?
Now we do.
Now you do. So that kind of yeah. launched you in, huh?
It did. It did. And I'm so grateful to Saks and to Landmark Hospitality, who gave us the opportunity to design something like this when we had no hospitality design experience. And it's one of those things that, you know, people used to tell me, Nina, it's going to take one person to just believe in you and they're going to let you do something. I never in a million billion years believe them, number one. Number two, I never in a million billion years believed that it would be Saks Fifth Avenue who would give me that opportunity.
Are you ready to learn how to grow your interior design business? Welcome to the lounge. The Chase Lounge. So get comfortable, grab a glass of Cabernet, and let's talk the business of interior design. Now, here's your host, Nick May.
Well, welcome, and thanks for joining me today in the lounge. I'm Nick May, your host, and today we're going to be talking about growing your interior design business. So whether you're in Chicago, Milan, or Wilmington, Delaware, I know you want to do one thing. You want to grow your interior design business. And we're going to do just that by finding out how successful designers do that from around the world. Today, I have a friend from Dallas that's going to be joining us today in the lounge, Nina Megan. And we had a lot of fun, and we really went deep on some fantastic topics. But before I jump into my interview with her, let me remind you, as I always do, there's a few ways I would love to connect with you. On our website, thechaiseloungepodcast.com, over on Facebook and Instagram. I'm not really, I guess I'm on Twitter, but I guess Twitter gets the leftovers from Instagram. Whenever I do an Instagram post, I always kind of check that box off that it goes and shares something over on Twitter. I don't know. Is anybody really doing Twitter like really effectively and purposely anymore? I don't know. I guess I never really got into Twitter. I like Instagram and I like Facebook. So follow me over in those two places. But I got to tell you, I've been super busy with my business. So I feel like lately, over the last couple weeks, I've not been in the groove here with the Chaise Lounge very tightly. The shows haven't gone out on a consistent day of the week as they're supposed to. I'm hoping that next week we'll get back on that early part of the week schedule. But things in my business have just been super slammed. I don't know if it's just me, if it's just Denver. I don't know. Tell me. I'd love to hear what you guys are seeing out across the country right now. But we are just absolutely slammed. We got so many calls in for estimates last weekend. No, sorry. We got so many calls to book business last weekend that it took my office staff probably until today, which is Wednesday, to get back to everybody. I think we had 10 or 11 emails, calls in for people to move forward on quotes that we had given out, and that just has never happened before. It was just crazy. So I don't know if that's what you're experiencing, but that's what we're experiencing here in Denver with interior painting. So hey, we've got a couple of folks that help me get this show out to you each and every week, and you know, Benjamin Moore, they've been by my side almost since the beginning, all the way back from my days in Chicago. And then designmanager.com, they're going to help you get organized in your office and all of your stuff so you can look more professional, so that you can save time and really just get on the ball. Like, if you have been struggling with that kind of stuff this year, I would highly suggest that you make that a commitment right now, even though it's only October, like New Year's resolution time. It's never too early, right? So make it a commitment, because as you know, anytime you change over something like that from one system to another, it's a process. So I would suggest get your ducks in a row right now, start looking into it, do the free trial, and then make a commitment that by January 1, when you're starting a new year, you've got, you know, you're opening your new books for 2017, that you are ready to go and you're on fire and you've figured it all out. So that's my challenge to you today. So let's jump over to my interview with Nina Megan of Contour Interior Design down in Houston, Texas. Well, joining me today in the lounge, I've got Nina Megan. How are you, Nina?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Where in the world are you joining me from?
I am in Houston, Texas today.
Is it hot down in Houston still?
Oh God. It's too hot. It's one day it's raining, one day it's super hot, one day it's muggy. There's no control over the temperature in this city.
Yeah.
Or state, I should say.
Yeah, right. It's just every time I've been down in Texas, it's like unbearable hot.
Yes.
You know, we have no humidity here in Denver. So a hot day is like 95 degrees, but there's always like a slight breeze. And so you get in the shade and it's like 10 degrees cooler.
That sounds like a perfect hair day.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, it's always perfect for me because I have hardly any. So. Well, we are going to jump into some personal questions and get to know you just a little bit. Does that sound okay?
Sure.
All right. Sure. What is your favorite fashion accessory?
Oh, wow. That is an interesting one. I would probably say earrings.
Earrings. Do you like big earrings
yes.
or small earrings?
I like big, huge earrings because I have such long hair.
Yeah.
So I think I just love, you can wear an open neck, a V-neck, a round neck. And if you just have the perfect pair of earrings, I really feel like it really enhances the outfit.
All right. Next question. Favorite guilty pleasure?
Oh, easy. Ice cream.
Ice cream? Do you have a favorite?
Yes. Okay. Marble slab, sweet cream marble slab with strawberries any day.
Oh my gosh. You're like,
how fast is that?
You're on it. You know exactly. I mean, so many people are like, oh, geez, I don't know.
No, it's horrible because every day I pass by the marble slab store and think that I should have stocks in this place because every time I want something really bad, it's that sweet cream ice cream from marble slab.
Yeah. All right. Favorite store. And this can be any kind of store. Like what store is your favorite? It could be fashion. It could be stuff for the house. It could be anything.
Okay. I like, and this is going to sound pretentious, but I love Neiman Marcus. They just have everything that I love. They have my shoes, my perfume, my makeup, everything.
So you drop lots of money there every month.
Wow. Is my husband listening? It's online.
Yeah. My sister is a huge Nordstrom's fan. And so I give her the hardest time because she's like got this personal shopper. And, she lives out like in the boondocks in Wisconsin. So she doesn't even live by one anymore. But she literally will fly into Denver. She says it's to go see like doctors and all those kind of people. But I know the truth. It's Nordstrom. So I know you guys like your favorite stores.
She probably hides her bags in the back of her trunk like
yeah.
I have to.
All right. Beer, wine, or a cocktail?
Oh, cocktail, 100%. I don't drink beer and I'm not a huge wine fan, which is surprising, but I never got into wine. You know, I actually have a funny story. Do you have a second?
I do. I have lots of seconds.
We have a beautiful wine fridge in our house. One of our friends came over because we don't know too much about wine. You know, some people try to teach us here and there. We're like, yeah. We have a wine fridge in our house. So everyone gets very impressed because they see a wine fridge that's full of wine. So we never knew that there's hot temperature and cool temperature. So one of our friends came over and he's like, what are you guys doing? And I said, what are we doing? And he goes, you have red wine in the wrong, like it's supposed to be left warm and your white wine is supposed to be cool and you have everything mixed. And he was like, do you even know what you have? And we're like, no, we have no clue.
You're like, I have red ones and I have white ones. That's all I know.
Yeah. And I have sangria. I have my sangria. I know about that one. So I do drink with that wine only.
That's awesome.
I drink sangria, but I am a cocktails person. I'm a vodka girl.
Yeah. You know what? You and I actually have sat down and had cocktails, I believe, when we were in Dallas.
And it was vodka.
Yeah, you probably did. That's great. Last thing you bought for your own personal house.
A piece of art. I bought a piece of art for my house and it's beautiful. It's from Las Vegas. There is a contemporary art gallery right outside of the Aria Hotel. And I cannot remember the name for the life of me, but it's right beside the Chaluhi Art Gallery. And my husband and I walked in there and we became best friends with the owners over there. And I bought a piece of art from them.
Big or
that's
small?
It's big. It's huge.
I assumed that's what I wanted to guess, that it was big.
5x5 or something.
And it sits in what room?
It sits in my entrance.
In your entrance. Nice. Mm-hmm. Love that. And that leads me to my last question. Favorite room in your house?
I keep on going back and forth from room to room because I love my house. But I would probably say my master bedroom only because it's the one place that everything is like how I wanted it. There's no other person's opinions in that room. It's just kind of like, it's my room. My closet's right there. My bathroom's right there. All my stuff is there. I have a TV there. It's my relaxation area. So I'd probably say my master bedroom.
Has your house ever been photographed for a magazine?
Not yet, but it's almost done. So we have some photographs that are on our website. And one of the rooms, we had a Kyle Bunting rug custom made for one of the rooms in my living room. And that one's been in several magazines as their ad.
Oh, nice.
So we've never pitched it yet because we want to pitch the whole house as one big project. Mm. And so there's still two rooms that are left.
Now, I don't want you to give it away, but is there like one particular magazine you would love it to be in?
I feel like that house needs to be an Architectural Digest.
Love it.
It should be. It should be
there, huh?
That's and great. I think once it's done, it would be a strong contender.
Ah, fun.
So don't be surprised.
That would be great. That would be great. Yeah. I follow you on Facebook, so I know everything that you're doing. So
good.
We'll share that with the audience once that happens. So I want to jump back to the beginning. How did you get interested in interior design?
So it's a very interesting story. I was always interested in fashion. I knew I wanted to be in the creative field, and I'm actually an economics and finance major from SMU. So I decided that from SMU, I wanted to be in fashion. I wanted to being creative, something really creative. And so as soon as I graduated college, I opened up my own lingerie store. So it was a high-end lingerie store that I thought could compete against Victoria's Secret. After doing retail for a little bit, I realized that this is not what I really love. I was more interested in the design of my store than I was in the actual clothes inside of it. So I decided that this is not something for me, but I still want to do something in the creative field. So my family has a real estate background and my dad convinced me and said, come and work for me. So I worked with him in commercial real estate for a little bit. And then I told him that I think I want to build a house. So I learned construction on the spot with a hired superintendent, learned construction, got praised more for the design of that place than the actual, the construction was great, but I got praised heavily for the design. And it's at that point that I decided I need to become an interior designer because that's real estate mixed in with fashion. And that's where interior design came about. And it's funny because when I was young, I used to move my bed around and change my room around all the time, decorate my parents' house. But I never really understood that design, interior design, was something that you could make a career out of.
I've actually heard that several times from guests. Like,
yes,
we need to teach that to little kids at some point so they know. Like, if you're decorating your room a lot, you're probably going to end up being an interior designer.
Yeah, you don't see it. It's not so prevalent as it is. Like, if you see fashion, you know that you want to be a fashion designer when you're 12. But interior design, I think it's becoming more and more exciting for kids now, and they know that it's a career because my niece, I think I've inspired her. She's like a diehard interior design fan.
Yeah.
And so she wants to be an interior designer. And I'm like, that's awesome.
Well, with all the shows now on, HGTV and
yes,
I don't know, whatever other channels there are, but there's all sorts of people that are on, talking about the interior design. So, and I believe you've actually been on TV as well, but we're going to get to that later.
Sure. No problem. That's a long story.
Yeah, I know. Right. So did you go to school then, or did you just pick up where, from the commercial real estate?
No, so I did. I went to school. I went to the Art Institute of Houston. I did 2 years there part-time while I was working because I'd already had an economics and finance degree.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I started hiring the teachers that worked there for me. So they started working for me. So at that point, I said, you know what, Nina, like at the end of the day, you are a business major. So anything that you don't know how to do, you can hire people to work with you so that you become a stronger team. And so what happened was I took the classes that I really needed, like space planning, theory of design. There was a few classes that I had there were requirements that I had to take at the very beginning. And then I started taking CAD and a couple of other classes. But once I took the construction documents class, which was 1 and 2, it was at that point that I stopped.
Gotcha.
So if I were to ever go back, I'd probably have maybe a semester left. But at that point, it was wasn't important to me because I wanted to get my hands dirty. And I thought that if I actually do the work, I will learn much more than the school is going to teach me. And that has actually proven me correct. Because at this point now, even the people who come in straight out of school, they don't know the things that the people who actually have worked in the field know. Because this is a hands-on type of job.
A lot of
not
people.
To say the school is bad. School is great.
Right. There are certain things you have to learn from the technical standpoint that I think you can only learn in school, but there's so much of it that you have to learn hands-on in the field working on projects.
Absolutely.
So you've kind of just thwarted my next group of questions because I usually ask about, you know, the first job you had out of school, and I'm going to assume that you didn't go work for somebody else.
No. Well, actually, no, I did. That's actually wrong. I did. I worked for 6 months. I worked for Guess, the clothing store. Mm-hmm. And I was, because I still thought, oh, you know, remember I was going to be in fashion. So I wanted to learn how to run a store. So I was the store manager for Guess for 6 months. And then I quit. And that's when I opened up my own store in the Galleria.
Okay. So you went straight to having a retail location.
Correct.
Do you still have the retail location?
No, thank God.
That's a rough game.
No, I did that for 2 years. Oh God, I did that for 2 years. It was a nightmare. I was working, everybody else, all my friends at the age of 22 were partying and having a good time. And I was working in my lingerie store and, you know, it was very exhausting. And at that age, I think it was a little too much for me because I felt like I was always working while all my friends are having fun. Because even if you're working mall hours, number one, and number two, if it's a Christmas holiday or some kind of holiday, those are your busiest days. So you want to make sure that you're at work while everybody else is having fun. So it was very tough, for sure.
So what does your design firm look like today? Kind of give us a snapshot, if you will. Who do you have on staff?
Okay, sure. So we have our entire design team altogether is 8 people, including me. And so we have lead designers, senior designers. I have a senior project advisor who works right under me. We have junior designers and then interns. So right now we don't have any interns. When we have interns, the team becomes about 10.
Okay. So help me understand. So I've got the list here. You got a lead and that's you, right?
No. I am the creative director of the company.
Creative director. Okay.
Correct. Creative director, principal.
Then you've got a lead designer.
I have a senior project advisor who works right under me.
Okay.
Then under her, I have 2 lead designers. Or senior designer, same thing. And they kind of help lead the projects and make sure that the clients are happy and the projects are running smoothly and the level of design is there that I expect. Underneath them, we have a junior designer and then interns. And then I also have an office manager who takes care of all the ordering, all the purchasing, ordering, and make sure things that come in on time.
So then what would the responsibilities of a junior designer versus an intern be?
So a junior designer actually gets to work on projects. They design with their lead designer. So they are the assistant to the lead. Okay. And they work directly with the lead. We have associate designers too. Okay, so let me explain. Okay, so first I'm going to go from the bottom. So the intern is the one who takes care of our library, make sure that if we have any new materials or if there's a vendor that wants to come and show us all their new items, they're the ones who have the meetings with them. And then they're the ones who are the go-to person. If, for instance, the associate designer or the lead designers say, I need a sofa that looks like this, they're the ones who are able to tell them, oh, okay, I just sourced out. I looked through all the things and this guy just came in, this vendor came in, and he has a beautiful sofa that I think will fit what you're looking for. Go to his website. Okay, so that's the intern. Mm-hmm. Then the associate designer is the person who assists with the lead as well. So they have projects of their own, they're smaller scale, but they also assist the lead with the larger projects. Like for instance, when we're doing Saks Fifth Avenue, the associate designer helped the lead to make sure that all the things go properly in place. Okay, so there's associate designer, then there's lead designer. I have 2 lead designers. And they're in charge of running the projects, making sure that all the projects are running smoothly, that customers are happy. Customer service is huge in our business.
Yep.
So they have to make sure that the customers are super happy and make sure that the level of design is what I'm looking for. Then from there, they go to the senior project advisor. She works right under me. So for instance, if a project has to be redlined, it'll go through everybody and then the final red line comes to me, hoping that there are no red lines that are left. I am the one who decides at the very beginning of every project. I'm the one who has the initial client meeting. I meet with the client. I understand exactly what they're looking for. And I'm the one who initially concepts every single project. That this is what I want the project to look like. This is what I think that they're looking for. These are the colors I'm using. This is my inspiration. This is everything that I want. So I give them a very clear picture of what I'm looking for in terms of the design, and then I let it go.
So I have a question.
Yes.
What's a red line?
Oh, okay. So redlining means when we're doing a hard finish project, for instance, we're selecting all the tile, we're selecting, designing, doing all plumbing fixtures, all hardware, everything. Everything requires, like say for instance, on the plans, the plumbing is not matching the plans. Like we have a faucet that's supposed to come out of the wall for the powder bathroom, but it's really coming out of the floor, but it's not indicated on the plans. That would be me redlining the plans.
Got it.
And saying, hey, your faucet is incorrect. You need to go back and reselect because look at what the plans say.
I like to say I'm kind of the dumb guy in the room because I don't know all the terminology. So I always like to ask anything that just doesn't really sound like
sure.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, no
that
problem.
Way, because I have a lot of people that are new to the industry that listen to us. And so
right.
If I don't understand what it is, maybe they don't know either.
Got
so,
it.
And you don't have any interns at this time?
No, I don't.
Will you be looking soon?
So we have probably about 20 resumes. I just don't have time to look through right now.
So you do all the hiring then?
Slammed. So, okay, I did all the hiring, but now that I have my project, my person who works right under me, she'll be doing it from now on.
Okay. How many projects are you typically working on at any given point?
So right now, I think we clocked in at 24 as of right now, but then we are sending out contracts for about 7 more. So usually one designer, I say, can take on no more than 3 projects every 3 months. That is our absolute max, depending on the project size.
How did you learn all this? Obviously, they don't teach this in interior design school.
No.
How did you, I ask you a question, you're like right to it. You know exactly. You don't hem and haw. You've got this whole system already nailed down. How did this come to be?
You know, I think it's a lot of trial and error. I've been doing this for 9 years now. Next year would be my 10th year. And I've tried everything under the book. And again, I'm a business major. So I look everything from a functional and financial point of view. I think that's very important. Design is my passion. I love designing. And I eat, dream, breathe looking at magazines and designing spaces. I love it. But again, to answer your question, I think that I've done so much trial and error in the past 9 years that I finally have found in the past 2 years, I'd probably say, a handbook for myself that works 100%, like to the T, where I know on a soft finish project how much I'm charging per square foot, on a hard finish project how much I charge per square foot, on a commercial project how much I charge per square foot, so that my pricing is very clear, and that helps me with my budgeting.
Do you have like specific KPIs or key performance indicators that you always look at?
Not necessarily. Every project is different and also depends on the scope of the project. So you have to adjust your KPIs all the time. For instance, if you're doing a residential house that is a similar square footage to another residential house, you can figure it out pretty easily.
Right. I was actually thinking more on the business side of things. Like, do you look at like the profit and loss? Do you look at like what?
Oh,
I
look at everything. I mm-hmm. look at all my profit and loss statements every single month. Mm-hmm. I have an accountant who takes care of all of our QuickBooks is done inside of our office. So my account manager, she's the one who handles all of the checks because we write weekly checks. So she takes care of all the QuickBooks that's needed to be done immediately. In terms of profit and loss statements, we have an accountant and we look at it every single month to see which projects are profitable and which ones are not. Because again, we're also an hourly basis. We charge on an hourly basis as well. So we have to know which projects take too much time or which designer is taking too much time on one project. Whereas can they move faster? Can I get them to move faster on the project? Can they produce more? Are they not thinking creatively enough? Things like that. I check everything every single month.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You said you've been in business for 9 years. Has that been 9 years of consistent, steady growth, or was there a point in the 9 years where you just like all of a sudden took off?
So I wouldn't say steady growth. I started, it's funny because when I first started interior design, I was doing my friends' houses. I started with a couple of friends. They gave me referrals to more friends. And then all of a sudden I started getting random projects. I got a website and then, you know, social media came about. So at the very beginning, it was a little slow. I'd probably say for the first 3 years. After that, when I started getting the hang of design, and kind of where I wanted to go, things started changing for me. And then there was obviously the recession. It wasn't that great. 2006, 2007. Was it 2006 or 2007, 2008?
I think for me here in Denver, it was like 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah, so something like that. 2007, mm-hmm. 2009. And so that was a little slow again. And then I really think that after I went on this TV show, I think everything just made sense after that. And that's when I really took off.
That's when you took off. When did you hire your first employee?
In 2007, when my first year of working.
Oh, so right away.
Right away, yeah. I needed assistance in terms of like computer programs and stuff like that. I wasn't super familiar with CAD at that time. Now I am. Mm-hmm. But at that time, I wasn't. And sure. So I had just taken my classes about it. And so I needed somebody to assist me with my drawings and things like that. So I had hired somebody at $10 an hour right off the bat.
More like a designer or more like a office person?
No. This was a designer. Straight okay. out of design school, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So more like an intern or a junior.
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, so I think people are dying to hear what's this thing about that you keep mentioning about the TV show. What happened?
So in 2000, I'd probably say 2011, I had my daughter was born in July, end of July 2011. 6 months later, I don't know if it's postpartum or what it was, but I decided that, you know what, I've always wanted to be on TV. I decided that I want to try out for Design Star. I saw a commercial saying that Design Star is going to be in Austin. If you want to try out, you can try out. So I went to Austin. I made it to the third round, which made me come back twice, two times more after the initial time. And I thought I was going to make it, and I got eliminated. So I think that after that, my video must have been floating around because about 3 months later, I got a call from NBC saying that there is a show called American Dream Builders. I think the name was something different at that time. I don't remember. But there is a show called American Dream Builders, and we would love for you to try out for this show. And I said, okay. So I tried out. I went back to Austin again, tried out for the show. And on the spot, I remember the casting people telling me that we'll be shocked if you're not on this show. And so after that, they flew me to LA about 6 months later, went to LA, got sequestered into this hotel in separate rooms where we couldn't speak to the other contestants, had very specific questions with producers. I was there for a week. Then I came back to Houston, didn't hear from them for a year. So I thought for sure, nothing's happening with the show. It probably got canceled. And I learned that that's kind of how the TV business is. And after in 2013... probably second quarter of 2013, I got a call saying that you will be flying to LA in September of 2013. And that's when the show will start being filmed.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so it was one of those, I found out about the show. The show was 12, they decided to select 12 of who Nate Berkus, who is the producer, one of the producers of the show. It was an NBC production. So Nate Berkus was one of the main producers of the show. And he selected 12 designers from all over the U.S. that he thought were, in his opinion, the best designers from what his opinion was. And so I happened to be one of the only ones from Texas. I was the only person from Texas. Everybody else was from LA, New York, Chicago, Palm Springs, and then there was me. So it was very frightening because I remember the first day that I got to LA, it was terrifying because I started hearing everyone's names. And, you know, one girl had worked for Better Homes and Gardens, one person had done Kips Bay a couple of times, and it was very intimidating to see who my competition was, for sure. So I thought that I'm gone. I'll be gone the first episode and be eliminated. So the premise of the show was it's 12 designers, very similar to The Apprentice. It's kind of like The Apprentice meets Extreme Home Makeover. A lot of the production team was from The Apprentice and Extreme Home Makeover. So what happens is there's 12 designers. You get split into two teams randomly by the producers, and you get a different style of house every week. So for instance, like the first week we got a Tudor house, and there's a team leader, and the team leader gives everybody a room in the house, and every single person has to design their own room to fit with the common theme that the team leader has decided, whatever his design sensibility is. There's a neighborhood council, and the neighborhood council comes and votes. And if your house wins, you're safe from elimination. And if you're not, one person from your team gets eliminated. So it's very high stress for sure.
Did you ever get to be the team leader?
Of course.
Yeah.
I was the team leader twice. I was a semifinalist in the competition. I left episode 9. There was 10 episodes and I was eliminated episode 9.
Oh, so close.
Yeah, so close. And then episode 10 was the finale. And so all the designers came back for the finale, which was nice. And it was cute because the two finalists were fighting over me to pick me for their team. So
oh, nice.
It was really awesome. Yeah, it was definitely a learning experience for me, for sure.
What were the one or two biggest takeaways that you learned through that process? And that could be from a design standpoint, it could be from a business standpoint, anything.
I think the biggest takeaway that I had from that was, if you can just imagine being sequestered with 12 seasoned designers or 11 other seasoned designers and being stuck with them for 13 hours to 20 hours, sometimes 20 hours a day, and just learning from them. It was the most amazing, invigorating experience I've ever had, because everybody had a different point of view. Everybody had a different way of design. Everybody had a different way of selecting their merchandise for their spaces. It was like a boot camp for design. I learned so much from those 5 months, probably more than I ever did in the 7 years that I was designing.
Wow. How did it impact your business when you got back home?
You know, when I came back, I had learned so much. I asked a lot of questions. And the one thing is I observed a lot when I was on that show. I was, you know, always observing what people are saying, what they're talking about, because I wanted to learn. I'm not exposed to being in Texas. I'm not exposed to that high level of design that you have in New York or you have in LA. And so I thought that the best thing I could do for myself living in Texas is just learn. And so, that's what I did. It impacted my business because I came back, you know, we did a lot of social media. So that was something that I wasn't heavily engrossed in before. So social media helped me with my business. Just the show in general brought a lot of awareness to me and my company and my brand. And it helped me develop a brand, because I didn't know developing a brand is something that's so important for your business. And you can't just work for nothing. You have to develop something. And it really taught me how to develop my brand for my business, so that people want to come to me for a reason, for clients want to come to me for a reason. And then also even for staff to come and work for me for a purpose. What is their purpose here to even work in this company? So it opened up a lot of doors, and it really changed my thinking process.
Now, did you have a team in place when you went to do the show?
Yes, I did.
You have work going on while you were like sequestered?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So we're sequestered. Yeah. You know, we could still walk around LA and stuff like that, and we could still talk to each other. At some point, they let us start talking to each other, which was nice. We had our phones and computers, but I did have a team. I had a smaller team, but I did have a team who was running projects, and I could speak to them. We got our phones taken away when we were on set, but when we were off of set, they would give our phones back, and we could make phone calls and just make sure that everything in the office is running okay. And my poor husband was running his company and my company, you know. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was hard, but I mean, now it'd be impossible. I could never leave for a show for 5 months at this point in my career.
Yeah.
But at that time, God did something for me that I could not do for myself.
Yeah. Did your team, like, were they just going crazy? Like, oh my gosh, she's on a TV show.
You know, of course, they were like, oh, our boss is gone. She's on a television show. So it's like one of those things. Like, would I go on another competitive television show? Probably not. You know, because I've been asked to do like two or three of them recently, very recently, probably a week ago. I got confirmed to do one of them, and I'm actually denying it. I don't want to say any names, but I'm actually going to deny it because I don't know if I can do competitive reality anymore. If it was my own show, it's very different, but I don't know if I could do competitive reality anymore.
If you could create your own show, like you have complete creative ability, what would that look like?
That show would be a super highly styled, super chic, like high end, high design, what a house could look like if you had all the money in the world. Because sometimes you can definitely design on low budgets and that's not an issue. But to be able to do something with money and to show the design ability and creativity that a designer can have is very different than what you can show on low budget.
Mm-hmm.
Since you're asking me that question, I'm being honest.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I totally get it.
I would love to show what I could do on a super high budget TV show.
Because I know there's been some reality shows. I don't follow and I don't watch enough television, but I remember a long time ago, there was a show about this guy who had a hair salon like in LA or something. And it was all about his clients and what he did. Is that kind of what you would do? Is just like your normal, what you guys do? Because you guys do high-end stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it would be so much fun for people to even see what is their process. Like, how do they work? Yeah. How do their minds work? What happens in our office? Like, nobody knows what really happens here.
I know. Like, I think that would make for a great... Because there's... I mean, I've been in and around designers. I mean, there's some drama going on.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Because we're all like very, you know, passionate about what we do. Everyone has an opinion and the opinions never end. And it's like even with me and my designers, even though they know I have the final say so no matter what happens, there's always, no, but what do you think about this? No, I said no.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Do what I'm telling you to do. They're like, no, but why don't you like it? We love it.
And you're doing projects all over the place because you're not just in Houston. You're doing stuff in some amazing places, right?
We just opened up an office in Miami and now we're actually servicing Dallas and Austin as well. We're expanding for sure, but I'm trying to make sure that I don't expand too quickly because that could be devastating as well.
I have
to make sure that I can handle the growth right now. So right now, our main focus is that our design sensibility has to be top notch and every client has to receive the same type of level of service before I can decide how to expand.
Yeah. You were working on a really great project right around the time you and I met.
Yes.
When I was down in Dallas. What was that project?
The new Saks Fifth Avenue opened up here in Houston, Texas. We had a Saks before, but they tore that Saks down and they decided to make a completely new one. And so I was so blessed to have the privilege to design their 9,000 square foot restaurant on the second floor, as well as their Bar 12, which is a little bar cafe on the first floor. And that was so amazing because that place looks phenomenal.
Do you do a lot of hospitality design?
Now we do.
Now you do. So that kind of launched you in, huh?
It did. It did. And I'm so grateful to Saks and to Landmark Hospitality who gave us the opportunity to design something like this when we had no hospitality design experience. And it's one of those things that, you know, people used to tell me, Nina, it's going to take one person to just believe in you and they're going to let you do something. I never in a million billion years believe them, number one. Number two, I never in a million billion years believed that it would be Saks Fifth Avenue who would give me that opportunity.
How did you get that opportunity?
So the restaurant in Houston that's in Saks is partly owned by Landmark Hospitality, which is a Houston-based company. Through a friend of a friend of a friend, I met them and I said, listen, I had to pitch to them and I lost the job. Believe it or not, I lost to somebody who had done W Hotels. So I lost the project and I was devastated. And I was in Miami speaking at Art Basel when I got a phone call from them saying that we have decided to let the other designer go. You are our second pick. You have 2 weeks to come up with a concept for this place. If we approve your concept, you guys are in.
Wow.
So I came back from Miami and I remember basically working 20-hour days to get this concept in place to knock their socks off. And somehow, with the grace of God, we got the project. That's how it happened.
That's awesome. And now that's opened up other doors for hospitality?
Yes. And so, you know, we're designing a couple of high rises here in Houston, and we've bid it out on a few hospitality projects. We're doing another restaurant, and we're just going to see how it goes.
And you're still doing high-end residential too, right?
Correct. Correct. We're a little more picky with our clients now because we want to make sure that we are giving absolute perfect level of quality and service. And so we're taking less clients, but bigger projects.
Yeah, I was actually just talking to my team about that today. It's really great when you get to a place in business when you don't have to go and chase every little opportunity that kind of comes your way. You can kind of go, you know what? That's not necessarily what we want to be about, because it opens up. You say no to a few things so that you can say yes to those things that you want to do.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so sometimes, I mean, you know, before I used to take on any client, anybody, I was mistreated by one specific client pretty greatly. And so as much as I wanted to fire him, I couldn't, because I needed the project for my business to continue. And I thought that it would be beneficial for me to stay with him, but it wasn't. And so sometimes when you get a feeling that the client is not the right client for you, and they're going to boss you around or mistreat you, that might not be the client that you want. So I'm so thankful to God that I'm able to select my clients, or I can decide at this point if I want to take them or not.
What would you do if you could go back in time to that moment when you were, you know, before you took that job that of that client you were just talking about? Would you still take on the job, or would you have done something different?
Okay, so initially they were very nice. I would have still taken on the job, but I would have fired the client in the middle of the project. I would not have continued with the project and been abused the way I was abused, because there's no reason for it. And because he was holding my final check, I had to take the abuse. So yeah. I wouldn't do that again.
Yeah. And I think there's, I think that's a lesson for a lot of people that haven't gotten there yet, because there's a lot of people that have young design firms or are getting ready to go into having a firm.
Right.
You're going to have those opportunities. I think all of us do. If you own a business, you get those clients that want to take advantage, and you have to know when to cut bait.
Yeah, because you're never going to win. Even at the end, you think that you're going to make it better. But generally, those clients, they're difficult for a reason, and they're never going to change. And so you might as well cut your ties early with them, because hoping that they're going to change is not, it's not worth it, because it's not going to happen. And you're going to regret it at the end. So
yeah. And those are the hard decisions we have to make as business
owners.
Yes. Everyone looks at the business owner and they go, oh, your life is so glorious and so great. But you know what? We have the tough calls too.
Exactly.
And those aren't always very fun. One of the things I wanted to ask you, more on a positive note, is where's been your favorite place to work? Do you like working in your backyard, or is it fun to travel?
No, I love traveling. I love traveling. I love Houston, though. You know, I've loved what Houston has provided for me, has been something so great that I probably couldn't achieve in a city that's more fashion forward or design forward, only because Houston is still very traditional. And to come up with something so innovative and creative, I had to go against a lot of roadblocks. The appreciation is coming now, because I'm one of the few designers in Houston who do this like eclectic modern style. And so because of that, I was named the best interior designer, contemporary interior designer in Texas, because they're not used to this type of design. Now, would that opportunity be there for me in another city? I don't know. So whatever has happened to me in Houston, I've been very blessed.
What do you guys do to get the word out? Obviously, you had a huge advantage with the television show, but do you guys continue to put the name out there in some way?
You know, usually what happens is we get a lot of editorials, because we'll pitch to a magazine. If we get a new project, we'll pitch the project to a magazine, and the magazine most likely will pick it up. I don't pay for advertising at all. I don't believe in paid advertisements, unless it's that one-off case. You know, it's so funny that I just said that, because I paid for the first time during the Houston Super Bowl that's coming here in January. That's the first paid advertisement I've ever done in my career.
So that hasn't come yet.
It hasn't come yet. No, it comes in, because the Super Bowl is going to be in February.
Oh, in February. That's right.
So I purposely did a paid advertisement during the Super Bowl, because it's in Houston. But other than that, you know, we do a lot of editorials we do. Social media is huge. I don't think people realize it, but I post, so I have a PR, I have an in-house PR, and she posts on my Instagram, which is linked to my Facebook. And so I post rarely personal things. Most of my stuff on Facebook is business posts, and I probably get maybe 2 to 3 calls a week from social media alone.
Wow.
Now, how many of those turn into clients out of 2 or 3, maybe 2 or 3. So if we're saying 12 a month, I probably turn 3 of those into clients that are very good clients.
Yeah.
So social media for me has been huge.
Yeah. And that's the investment of having somebody on staff that can,
yes,
can pay 100% of their attention.
Correct.
To posting things. What's your philosophy on what you guys post? Is it all like pretty pictures and completed projects?
No, because you know what? I think that people love to see the process of stuff, especially in the design world. They love to see before and after pictures. They love to see what was the process? What did it look like before? And how did they get to where they're at now? So sometimes we post like Instagram stories where you see the beginning of the project, then you see the end. You start from rendering phase all the way to final project. And sometimes we just take pretty pictures and post them on. So I think it's a combination that gets followers.
So when I actually do a post or comment on one of your great pictures and you comment back, it's not necessarily you.
No, those, all of those, everything that I comment, no, don't say that. Everything that gets comment back is me, because she doesn't have access to my personal Facebook account, but she does have access to posting. So the Instagram gets automatically posted on my Facebook, but the comments that you receive back are always me.
Okay, good.
See? We're friends.
That's fun. That's fun.
So what do you got coming up that we can announce for the very first time? I always like exclusives. Come on. Give me something.
Like a big project? I mean, we have a lot of residential projects. We have in Houston, we're doing the Marlowe. It's right across from the Four Seasons. It's a high rise that's coming in downtown, and we're doing the lobby as well as all the hallways. We're rebranding a restaurant in Houston called The Republic. There's a big one, but they haven't quite signed the contract yet. This is probably the biggest one that would be huge news, but I can't say it yet just because they haven't signed on the dotted line yet. I don't want to jinx it because it would be so huge for us. This would be bigger than the TV show. This would be bigger than anything I've ever, better, bigger than Saks, if you can imagine.
Wow.
This would be bigger than any of those projects if they actually sign. I don't want to jinx it, but I promise you in the next 2 weeks, when I get that contract with a signature, I will let you know.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That would be great. So have you ever given any thought, how big do you want this firm to be?
Yes. I think about it every day, actually, because I'm laser focused.
I love how you're like on every question. A lot of people, I ask a question, they're like, oh, I don't know, maybe this. You're just like, no. So how big is
it? I know what I want. I know what my goals are. I have a 5-year plan, and my 5-year plan is that, first of all, I want to be one of the largest contemporary eclectic interior design firms in Texas. And to do that, I figured I know how many people I would need, which would be about 15 to 20. And with that, I would also do hospitality design. Now, I want to definitely do boutique hospitality design in Texas and Miami or wherever else it takes us. So we're building our portfolio for hospitality design. I love boutique hospitality design. I think it really pushes the envelope for designers, and you can just be so creative in that type of design field. And I'm bidding. I have a goal by the end of this year to get at least one hospitality project before the end of the year. And then, because these other projects that we're doing, they're high rises. So it's a little different.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
So 15 to 20 in the staff within the next 5 years.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes. And more well-recognized, a very well-recognized firm.
Okay. So 2 to 3 times growth for where you guys are
Correct.
At right now.
Right. And I don't think that that's unachievable only because of what's happened in the past 3 years.
Yeah.
I think based on that and based on where we're going, if we stay laser focused and if we get the right projects, and obviously if we get God's blessings, I think it'll happen.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you are just killing it. Way to go. Way to build the right team and to know how to do that. And you're organized. I love when when folks are just, they know exactly what they want. I mean, that that inspires me because I am so much the planner and I'm the visionary of the company. You sound like you have a little bit more of that and the detail side that I don't have. Like, I'm not the detail guy. I need to have people on my team that complement me. And
exactly. And it's hard to be a visionary because everybody doesn't get you, you know? But
I think that's why
there are so few visionaries. And that's okay.
Yeah, I had placed a goal last year that I wanted to double the size of my business. We're right on track to do it this year.
Oh, fantastic.
And so,
congratulations.
Yeah, so it's been super fun, and now I want to do it again next year. So we'll see if we can double it again.
Yep. And you will.
Yep. And you have to. And I was just listening to another podcast recently, and the guy was saying, you know, to get to $1 million takes a certain set of skills, and to go to that next level to $2 or $5 million is a totally different set of skills.
Yes.
And that was kind of an eye opener for me because I always thought of it as, well, I figured out how to do one, you know, it should be the same going to that next level, but you've got to open your eyes and always be learning and trying to figure out it, what else do I need to do? What else do I need to learn in order to get there? And so I'm always looking at who do I need to talk to and get advice. And that's a question I actually forgot to ask you. Have you had any mentors in your life?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You name it. Oprah. Oprah has been a huge mentor for me. I'll tell you the big ones and I'll tell you the ones that are closest to my heart. But Oprah has been a huge mentor. I listen to Tony Robbins habitually. I think he's fantastic. I think he's extremely motivating. He takes you out of the negativity or the negative funk that you can be in, which you can get in. You can get in all the time, especially owning a company, having sometimes disgruntled employees. You can always get into a negative rut, and he's very positive and uplifting. But mostly, I'd probably say my mother and my grandmother, because my grandmother passed away 2 years ago in October, and she worked and had her own company until the day she passed away. My mother started the company with my dad, and she has still works till today. They have, you know, about 300 employees, and very motivating, always told me, never give up. You know, whatever you do, be the best that you can be. Don't just do it halfway. Do the best, be the best you can be. And so seeing such strong women figures in my life has been so inspirational for me to become, be on the path that I am today.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, how can people connect with you or learn more about you? Where should we send them?
Oh, sure. Okay. So my website, I have two websites. I have ninamegan.com, which might be easier. So that's www.ninamegan.com, or you can go to Contour Interior Design, which is my design firm. It's www.contourinteriordesign.com. And I have my Twitter handler, which is @ninamegan, my Instagram, which is @contourinterior, obviously Facebook, Contour Interior Design, and that's it.
Yeah, we'll put all those links in our show notes so people can easily connect with you and find out more about you. And thank you so much for your time today and for sharing all your wonderful stories and all the success that you've had with our audience.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So I like how Nina said interior design is like real estate mixed with fashion. And that's kind of her background. And I would have to agree, like that's pretty good. I really thought about that when I really listened to the interview and heard her talking about that. And I like how so many of the people that we have talked to on this show have come from a fashion background, but mixing that with real estate and mixing that with her business acumen. You know, she had an economics and a finance degree. She really was on fire and ready to knock it out of the park when she got going. So great stuff. So many different learnings, you know, from hearing about how she just decided one day she wanted to be on television and go after it, to, you know, the way she kind of plans out her business and what she decides to do. You know, at the end of the interview, she talked a little bit about where she wants to go in the next 5 years. She wants to be between 15 and 20 staff members. And that's fantastic. If you've experienced the growth from, you know, maybe just by yourself to one or two people, you can only imagine what that growth could be from, you know, she's currently at about 8 all the way up to 20. I know for me and my staff, we've gone from about 10 to about 21 folks in the last, I'd say probably the last 16
17 to 18 months. I know we've doubled our revenues, but we've probably more than doubled the people that we have on staff, and we just keep growing. But it's not easy. You have to constantly be on the ball. And I love how Nina talked about the fact that she hires people that are smarter than her, so that when she doesn't know how to do something, or she knows how to do it, but she knows somebody else could do it better, she really doesn't outsource, but she brings somebody in. A friend of mine calls that insourcing, but she gets the right people on the bus and in those positions so that her and her team can do a much better job for their clients. And I'm a big believer in that. Like, I know I've got serious limitations, people. Like, serious limitations. I know that there are a lot of things that I'm not necessarily fantastic at, and I've got a great group of people that really make me look good on a daily basis. And as if you are growing a business and you're growing your design firm, that's what I strongly suggest, that if you want to do a better job for your clients, if you want to have a bigger impact, if you want to make more money, you have to grow that team. And it can be scary, but you know, the majority of the people that I've had on the show have figured that piece out. They figured out how to hire, they figured out how to train, they figured how to manage and lead a team of people so that they can do fantastic things. I mean, the projects that Nina's been on is just amazing. I follow her pretty close on Facebook, and you know, the projects that she's doing down there in not only Houston, but in across the country, the opportunities that are opening up to her for her are fantastic. And you know, I think a lot of people would say, well, yeah, it's easy for her because she was on television. But I tell you what, that only goes so far. Like, people see through that. Like, if you were just let's say you were just a pretty face, and you knew the right things to say, and you were good on camera, but you didn't have the goods when it went to running the business and doing the design, like, you wouldn't go anywhere. You might get one or two jobs, but nothing like what they're seeing down there in Houston. So, hey guys, I don't know if you have had your ears open, but the color of the year just got announced from Benjamin Moore for 2017. And I love it because, you know, we had Ellen O'Neill on the show this last year, and we talked all about Simply White and how that was such a controversial, you know, color. Well, they've kind of gone the almost 180 degree opposite direction. The color of the year for 2017 is a color called Shadow. It's Benjamin Moore's color 2117-30 out of the Preview color fan deck, if you're familiar with that at all. But it is almost black. I mean, it is dark gray. And the pictures that I saw online today were just fantastic. They kind of knocked my socks off. And we've been using a lot of bold, dark colors like that. But mostly when we've been doing them lately, it's been, you know, on cabinets or on built-ins and those kind of things. But some of the pictures that I've seen with accent walls and studies that have been done, you know, 100% in this shadow color, just fantastic. So I definitely recommend you go check it out. Go over to your local Benjamin Moore dealership if you don't have a fan deck, and go check out Shadow, which is 2117-30 out of the Preview color deck. And let me remind you that we have designmanager.com as a sponsor. They were our very first sponsor, and super important. I love that these companies come alongside me and have supported me so that I can bring these interviews to you guys. And I would ask that you would support them, that you would go check them out. Like, at least give them a shot. Like, Benjamin Moore and Design Manager, they are doing fantastic things. They are companies that really believe in what they're doing, and they give really great customer service. I would not bring them on as a sponsor of this show if I didn't believe in what they were doing. So please go check them out. And if you have a chance, let them know that you heard about them from me here on the Chaise Lounge. Hey guys, it is mid-October, and that means High Point Market is literally right around the corner. Are you excited? I am not super excited this year because I'm not going. I've been getting so many emails and Instagram messages and Facebook messages about meeting up in High Point, and I'm not going. I am too busy and I just couldn't fit it into the schedule, guys. So if you are going, I hope you have a great time. There are a ton of my friends that are going. Lots of the folks that have been on the show. Lots of our listeners are going. And I will try next week to announce a few things that might be going on in High Point that I can point you to. And I hope you have a great time. If you do go, please let me know. Tag me in a post or two. Let me see what you're doing out there in High Point. And take advantage of everything that High Point has to offer. All the learnings, all the networking opportunities, and see as many of the showrooms. It is an overwhelming thing. So I hope you rest up before you go. And maybe I will be able to go out to the next market in about 6 months. Hey guys, that's all I've got for you today. I'm Nick May, reminding you to keep dreaming big and keep designing a great design business. See ya.